Let us all say amen and want to thank Brother Smith for leading us in hymns and all the brothers that have served thus far. I want to welcome you this afternoon, those that have made the decision to be with us this afternoon as we worship via the conference call, the Lord, and offering up our service unto him as we participate in those acts of worship that we find commanded in the Word of God. If you are on the line this afternoon and you're visiting with us, not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know again that you are our honored guests, our VIPs. You are a very important person to us, and it's our responsibility as preachers of the Word of God to share those things that we find written in the Word, that we all, as the song we just sung, find a home for our soul, and that home we want to be with the Lord when this life is over. And so for those that are on the call that may not be members again, I'd just like to share some foundational points from the Word of God, the first being in Jeremiah 10 and the verses number 23, where Jeremiah recognized when he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah realized that when it came to a spiritual walk, that there was someone else that needed to direct his steps. And Jesus then, in Matthew, in his Sermon on the Mount, he established where that foundation can be found as far as the steps to follow when he said in Matthew chapter 6 and the verse is number 33, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So Jesus was giving instructions to those that were listening to him and letting them know that the thing that this spiritual life ought to lead you to is to seek first the kingdom of God. And then when Nicodemus met with Christ by night in John chapter 3 and the verses number 3, Jesus shared with him how one that is seeking the kingdom can enter it. When he said in John 3:3, he answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So we find that a person had to be born, and this birth is a spiritual birth. And Jesus said he had to be born again, or he could not see the kingdom of God. That which Jesus said ought to be a priority in our spiritual life. And then in Acts chapter 2, and the verse is 47, when the church, the kingdom was established, Jesus had shared that with Nicodemus. And so Luke wrote in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church," that kingdom, "daily such as to be saved." So if a person wanted to be saved, they had to be added to the church. So I want to just establish that this afternoon. We never know who is listening to the call, and someone may be a guilty distance from the Lord, and we need to instruct them on those foundational things. And at the close of the message, I will share with you specifically what those did in the first century in order to be added to the Lord, to be added to the church, and how they became saved. On this afternoon, for the next few moments, want to speak from the subject, "Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin." And I think it's important as we look at this lesson today that when the New Testament was written, it was written in Greek, because at that time, Alexander previously had dominized the world. And so Alexander was a Grecian. And so all that during his lifetime, the world was spoke Greek, and so the New Testament was written in Greek. However, when it came to the New Testament, those words that were written in Greek had to be translated into our what we have our English language. And so oftentimes, sometimes you may see a word and we may define that word by what it says in Webster. But I like to share with people, I go to the Bible looking for the Lord, and then I may use Webster. I don't go to Webster looking for the Lord. I find the Lord and then see what the Bible says. And so we'll talk about that on this afternoon, because there are words in this writing that John wrote that in the proper translation we'll get a clearer understanding. And also we'll see from John, will write that he will share with us how you can clearly understand that which is written. So we're talking about where John, we took our title from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, whosoever is born of God. And remember, I said in John 3, you had to be born again. John wrote, doeth not commit sin. But again, we have to understand what the word commit means in the Bible. And we'll do that on this afternoon. But I want to start, pick up from where we left those that was with us on this morning. We concluded in verse number 28, where our title was, and now little children, abide in him. So in verse 29 of 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, that will lead into chapter 3. But again, I want to remind us that when John wrote his first letter, it was not written with book, chapter, and verses. He simply wrote an epistle. He wrote a letter. Man came along after that and added verses that makes it easy for us to find particular scriptures. But man added verses. He also tried to divide the letter into chapters. And so sometimes that's an accurate division, and other times it may not be as such. But we'll start in verse 29 as we get into John, 1 John chapter 3. And in verse 29, John writes, if you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So John writes to Christians about living a righteous life in Christ. If you know that he is righteous, meaning Christ, God, is righteous, then he say, everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And so righteous is acts in accordance with divine law. Righteous is when we do those things that are in accordance with divine law, and that makes us righteousness in that we are being right. So John then says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we, talking about Christians now, should be called the Son of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. John says, I want you to see what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we can be called the sons of God. And we know that God offered that love toward us, as we recall John 3:16, maybe a familiar verse to some, when Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So John said that that love that God gave was immeasurable, and that he gave his only begotten son. And he said, John said that in order for us to be called the sons of God, he had to offer his son. He said, the world don't know him because don't know us because they don't know him. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Christians are the children of God with all the blessings that accompany this. You know, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 1 and the verses number 3, Paul wrote to them, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So I want to share with us that those that are in Christ, all the spiritual blessings are in Christ, and you have to be in Christ to be able to receive those blessings. We know that as a Christian, we live on this earth, but Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, and the verse is number 20. We find that as a Christian, we know this is not our permanent home. Well, Paul wrote to them in Philippians 3:20, he said, for our conversation, and that conversation here means citizenship. He said, for our citizenship is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we realize that we live here on earth as children of God, but we know that, that as we sung that song, that home for the soul, our permanent citizenship is, Paul said, was in heaven, and we look for the Lord that he may return. And so we understand that we don't know what John writes back in John. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then John says, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So John now gets into how righteousness comes about when he says, every man that has this hope. And this hope is what influences the life of a Christian. However, we understand that the word purified here means morally being one that now I'm trying to live morally according to God's will. He said, I'm trying to be moral even as he, Jesus, is pure. Jesus is without fault. But we understand this, and I think that's what we'll understand when he talks about committing sin and doeth not sin. Well, we know from John's writing himself in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. John wrote, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. John said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we understand that when we talk about the word, as we'll define sin and committed sin, that we cannot be sinless. But what John is writing about, that the Christian, the child of God, live to sin less. Because John said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. He said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So John here, even though he talks about the Christian living a more moral life, trying to measure up to as close as we can to Christ, John established that we are going to sin. And then he says in verse 4, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So now we look at the definition of the word committed sin. So it'll help us as we live this Christian life. The word committed here means to practice of a continuous behavior, a habit. So he's talking about whoever practiced sin. It's a continual behavior. He said, you need to understand that you're transgressing also the law. He said, because when we sin, and sin here is to do wrong, wrongdoing is the transgression of the law. Not obeying the laws of God is referred to where John, the translation says, transgression. That word means lawlessness. So when we do things that are without law, that's lawlessness. Now, we can sin. Sins are done by omission, and sins are done by commission. When I commit sins of omission, omission is something that has not been done. When I omit doing something, those are sins of omission. However, when there are sins done, that's something that I have done. Those are sins of commission. Those are sins that I commit. So I can sin by omitting something. I can sin by committing something. And we want to understand that John was trying to encourage those that were Christians then that all sin is a violation of the law of God. Whenever we do something that is not in the law of God, that is sin. And we need to understand that any sin is serious. We sometimes say there are a little white lie. But now, if you lie, John talks about that, if we say that we have not sinned, John said we make him a liar. A liar is wrong in the eyesight of God. There is not no such thing as little or small. Sin is sin because it's because of sin. It's because of sin that a person can lose his soul, because Jesus said in John chapter 8, and the verse is number 21, Jesus said, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So we realize, and that's the same John that wrote 1 John. So John now is listening to Jesus when he's talking to us. Now, those thoughts of Christ to be in his heart when he's talking to us about sin, that the Christian must continue to try to purify himself. My encouragement this afternoon is that we study the Word of God. We find those things that are in the Word of God that we're not omitting or committing those sins against the law of God. And so John says that when we do that, sin by definition is the transgression of the law, or it is doing things that is lawless. We don't have law for that which we do. And then he says, and you know that he, talking about Christ, was manifested to take away our sin. In him is no sin. John said that Christ came to take away three things. He came to end the guilt of sin. I no longer have to feel guilty about the sin. He took away the power of sin. He also took away the punishment of sin, because the Bible says in him is no sin. Paul, in his writing to Titus in chapter 2, and the verse is number 14, Titus 2:14. Listen to what Paul wrote to Titus. He said, who gave himself, talking about our Savior, verse 13, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and notice now, purify unto himself a peculiar people that will be zealous of good works. So John said, Paul told Titus when he wrote to him, he said, understand this, that Jesus gave himself from us that he might, the word redeem mean to release by paying a ransom price. The price that Christ had to pay was his life. He gave his life. No one took it from him. He gave his life. And the reason he gave his life, Paul told Titus, was that he might release us from all sin. And he would then cleanse us and make us a peculiar, or his own people, and that we will be zealous of good works. And so we find that that was the reason that Jesus came to earth. It was to take away our sins, because he had no sin. And then John says, whosoever abided, we talked about abiding this morning, whosoever abided in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. So again, we define what sinning means. That's practicing sin. So John says, if you abide in him, or in other words, if we talked about this morning how Christ lives in the heart of a person, Ephesians 3:17, how he dwells in our heart by faith. So John said, whosoever abideth or remain, in other words, if Christ is permanent, he has residence in your heart through the word, John said, you won't continue, or you won't practice sin, because the person that continues to practice sin, he says, has not seen God, neither have known him. Whosoever continues to remain in Christ does not keep on sinning as he did before being baptized. As I said before, as a Christian, that's why we study the word of God. That's why we listen to the word preached Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Bible class, Wednesday night, that the word of God can abide in us, that it can help us, that we don't continue to practice sin as we did before we became a Christian. Note what John wrote in John chapter 15, and the verse is number 4. John 15 and 4. John said, abide in him, or remain in him. And Jesus said, John wrote this, but Jesus said, abide in me, excuse me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And again, we shared this morning how Christ dwells in our heart through, by faith, through the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So Jesus said here, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. You know, I think about as a child and even today, you would see a tree and you would see a branch. And sometimes that branch become broken. And you would see that branch when it first become broken. It's still green, brown branch with green leaves. But if you continue to pass by that tree and look at that same branch that is now broken, it becomes brown. It becomes withered. And eventually it will die. And that's what Jesus is saying in John 15 and 5. When we don't abide in the word of God, when we don't practice those things in the word of God, we can do nothing. Or we begin to die off. Or we know, as Jesus said, if a man abide not in me, verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch. Notice now he says, and is withered. And the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And I want to say to the Christian, when we don't abide in the word of God, when we don't try to live as a Christian and make that the apex of our lives, we can begin to wither, as Jesus said in John chapter 15. And so John says back in 1 John chapter 3, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. The word deceive means leading you into error. He says, little children, those are the Christians, don't let nobody deceive you. Don't be fooled. If you do righteousness, then you are righteous, even as Christ was or is righteous. Righteous is the act of conforming to what is morally upright or good according to the laws of God. You know, they have expression, talk is cheap. You know, and sometimes we can talk a good game. We can say that I am a Christian. I can say I'm a member of the Church of Christ. But practicing righteousness is the only test of a righteous person. How do you prove that I'm by practicing that which is right? John says. And so, again, if I'm a Christian, my responsibility, as we said on last Sunday, those foundational things, read Ephesians 3:4, reading the word of God, knowing without a doubt what God said, studying the word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15, studying the word of God, and then as James says, being doers of the word and not hearers only. That's the way we see men. The fact that John said that we are righteous. And then he flips the page and says, he that committed, remember we said, committed is doing something regularly or repeatedly. It is habitual. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. He said, it is for this purpose, or this reason, Christ came to earth. He said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know, Jesus came to earth. The word destroy means to bring to nothing. So Jesus came to earth to destroy the works of the devil. All the devil want to do is to destroy the Christian. You know, John said that in his previous writing when he talked about the devil. In John 10:10, when he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that thou might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So the thief simply came to steal and to kill and to destroy you. So John writes here that Christ came, his purpose was coming, was to destroy the works of the devil. And then my title for tonight, as I move to a close, whosoever is born of or begotten of God, born through baptism, that spiritual birth. John says, whosoever is born of God does not keep doing sin. That's what doeth mean in that. Doesn't mean that a person won't sin, means that I won't continue to sin, because I know I was sin, because John established that in 1 John chapter 1. So when we look at the word of God, the word committed and the word do it, we have to understand what the writing was in its original language. John said, whosoever is born of God does not continue to commit sin. He said, for his seed, the word of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. That's on a continual basis. Why? Because he is born of God. And so, as John wrote, those that are Christians, it is through the word of God that we can purify ourselves, in the sense that we can live a more moral life while on this earth. It is through the word of God dwelling in our heart that influences the Christian. Those times when I may sin, it's the word of God that is able to fortify me from doing those things. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, he says, I find in a law that when I would do good, he says, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So when I put the law of God in my heart, in the inward man, that is what allows me. As Paul later wrote, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Holy Spirit. And so again, I want to close as with the scripture that I've been summarizing that, but the psalmist writer said in Psalms, the 119th division, and the 11th verse, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so to the Christian, hide the word in your heart. And David said, you might not sin against the Lord. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, how does one become a child of God, a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ? Well, we find, stay in the Romans letter, in Romans chapter 6. Paul reminded those Christians there in Romans 6 and 1. The Bible said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul wrote, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Christ died for sin. We are to die to sin. How do we die to sin? We must hear the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The three factors, Jesus Christ died. I said he took away sin. He died for our sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You have to believe that. And then you repent of your sins. You turn to Christ. And then the following two steps, Paul said in Romans 7 and 3, you repent of your sin. You confess Christ to be the Son of God. And then Paul wrote, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So you begin a new life when you are buried with Christ by faith, and the blood of Christ cleanses you of all your sins. And then you'll walk in a newness of life. And so if you're on the call, and someone invites you on the call, that's how one becomes a Christian. You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you repent of your sins, you turn to Christ. That's the start of it. You make the confession found in Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, and then be baptized. That's being born again in water. And the Lord will add you to the church, Acts 2:47. If there's someone that's subject to the invitation, we extend to you as we hear a song of invitation. Thank you very much.